Welcome to this week's Key Voices. I'm Makesa Mwanza, bringing you a roundup of the latest education news and an interview with our special guests, Anita Samani, Martine Clark, and Jane Palmer, senior leaders at Byron Court School in Brent. In the news this week, the BBC has reported that teachers, NHS workers, and police officers in England and Wales could be held accountable for failing to spot violent crime among young people under government plans announced on Monday. Home Secretary Sajid Javid has launched a consultation to assess whether there is a public health duty to report concerns over children at risk. The Guardian has reported that the number of primary school children in pupil referral units in England has more than doubled since 2011, raising concerns that the surge in school exclusions is affecting even the youngest children in the education system. The TES has reported that more than 1,000 local authority councillors have signed a letter urging the government to increase school funding. The letter, from the NEU Teaching Union to Education Secretary Damien Hines, was handed to the Department for Education on Tuesday. Also this week, Schools Week has reported that the government has given its approval for nearly three quarters more councillors to shift millions of pounds of school funding into their high needs pot. 22 local authorities have been allowed by the Department for Education to move more than 0.5% from the schools block to the high needs block this September. Plans for a register of all children not attending school are being put forward by the Education Secretary. The proposals, set out by Damien Hines, aim to provide a clear picture of where children are if they are not in state-funded or registered independent schools. And the TES has reported on an Ofsted study, which has found that teachers working for multi-academy trusts worry that the growth of their organisation will reduce their influence and make management more remote. And now for our interview with Anita, Martine and Jane from Byron Court School. Anita Samani, Martine Clark, Jane Palmer, senior leaders at Byron Court School in Brent. Welcome to you all. On to our first question. We get a lot of queries from our members on how to improve work-life balances of school staff. Can you give us some insight into what methods you've adopted at your school and why they've been effective?
I'll start it and then I'll pass it on to you too. It's multi-layered and it has been in place since 2011 when I started as a head teacher here. I think it started with asking the staff what they wanted and what they saw their school to be and how they could influence that. And I think that empowerment gives a sense of self being right from the start, so you're not being done unto. And then since then, we've implemented quite a few strategies as well. So we implemented a social club, as it were. And rather than shaking a tin about and collecting money for people's birthdays, we contributed on an annual basis, which also paid for some coffee and tea supplies so people didn't have to bring their own. And on every sort of suitable occasion, we will have a sort of tea party, for example, with cakes or to celebrate the Queen's birthday. We did various things. So there are times throughout the year that we do get together. And it has a nice social feel and it's paid for by the staff committee. What would you like to add?
I was going to add that we have a distributed leadership model in school. So that means that you don't have one single person, say, responsible for literacy. You have a team of people. So the workload is shared through that. And also we buy into a wellbeing support program as well, which includes medical cover for us, so that our staff can access counselling, they can access physiotherapy, things like that through the program. They don't have to pay for it. It's all completely confidential. So it's an additional service that's available for all of our staff.
And we've also have a work-life group that meet once a term. There are members from every year group that meet together. And as a staff and a group, we discuss how we can improve work-life balance for all staff. So recently, in response to the DfE workload agenda, we have slimmed down our planning. So now the teachers don't have to actually have a physical planning folder. They just do it electronically. And we've reduced data drops from 6 times a year to 3 times a year, which has greatly reduced workload alongside a new marking policy as well.
Yeah, I was just about to ask about marking because marking is often an area that contributes to workload-associated stress for teachers. And what other policies have your school implemented to support manageable marking?
I think I'm the best one to answer that. So, yeah, we've changed our marking policy drastically. We now call it a feedback policy. We did it with the teachers together, and there's a much bigger emphasis on verbal feedback now. And teachers now mark the majority of their books in the lessons with a simplified code. It's more manageable. It's greatly reduced teacher time and distance marking. They still do a small amount of distance marking, but not as much. And there's, that means that there's more time for planning and resourcing. Also the children really like it. So pupils have greatly benefited. They get more, they get direct and instant feedback. So, there's been lots of, studies about distance marking doesn't have as much impact as instant verbal feedback.
Yeah. We actually were at an event yesterday where we heard very similar, opinions on that. Like, yeah, so that seems to be something that a lot of schools are implementing, and it seems to be working quite well.
Great.
I think what's, I was going to add one thing to that. What's interesting is the work-life balance group, which is represented from each year group, when asked at the outset when Jane started leading it, what do you think we can reduce in order to reduce our workload? They were actually sort of anti getting rid of data and data information, because although we've reduced it, it actually informed their planning and it informs the teaching, and therefore the teaching becomes much sharper as well. So it's not something you can throw out. I know that Ofsted are constantly talking about we don't need the data, but actually teachers are secured and scaffolded by that data. And so is the leadership of the school, because it's the only way that we can clearly see whether children are making the progress that they should be. So it's that, again, it's that empowerment and ownership of the direction of the school, that it's a joint consensus and effort. It is not a top-down instruction. And I think that that in itself creates a sense of well-being, because you're in control.
Could I just add one thing? The other thing we do is we give our year group teachers a dedicated PPA morning or afternoon. So that means they've got time to sit and plan together, discuss things that affect the whole year group. So they get that weekly, and they don't have to make time for those meetings outside of school.
And on top of that, what other things does your school do to improve staff well-being?
Well, we've got 2 years ago, we had a team development day. So we had an inset day where we all went to Hillingdon Outdoor Activity Centre, and there was all sorts of activities. We created teams of people that didn't normally work together and wouldn't see each other so often. We certainly didn't create teams that were friendship groups already. So it was a way of really bonding the staff as a whole. And I think all 67 at the time went. Jane has just organised something. Do you want to talk about that for coming May?
Yeah, we've got another team building day coming up at the end of May. Slightly different, it's not as physical based this time, as we've got on a creative theme. So again, we'll kind of put people into different teams, not people who they don't necessarily work with like last time, and they'll get to do something creative together.
Which will then also artistically furnish our new building, which is very empty looking at the moment. And that doesn't give a sense of well-being when you're looking at plain walls all the time. So that's something we're going to try and work at.
Excellent. Killing two birds with one stone.
And the other thing we're doing as well, we're trying to develop more of a coaching culture within the school. So that's giving people ownership as well. And they have more of a say in their personal development and things like that.
Particularly that is for performance management. Because rather than just give people a list of targets and say, well, you're expected to do this, that, and the other, and we want you to achieve, what it is, it's much more of a discussion about their own personal development and their journey, and sort of trying to talent spot at the earliest opportunities. I'm a strong believer in building on people's talents right from the NQT year. I mean, there's no reason people can't have leadership opportunities within their first couple of years of teaching if they show an aptitude for that, or if they show different skills that you give them those opportunities to develop. I think one of the great things that we've got that helps the well-being in the school enormously is the fact that we're a teaching school, and we're a highly effective teaching school with a lot of outreach. So we're supporting at approximately 7 or 8 schools, I think, at the moment, not just within Brent, but also within Hounslow. Because in my sub-regional role, my job is to collaborate across Ealing, Brent, Hillingdon, Hounslow and Harrow, and try and make a sort of unified approach for the greater good of all children and outcomes of all children in our West London area. So our teachers going out of school and seeing different settings and having the opportunity to network with other colleagues inspires them. It also helps them see that the grass is not necessarily greener on the other side, and they come back sometimes feeling quite relieved that they're actually at Byron Court and that they have a say in their development here and their, the way we work and the rest of it. Another thing we had as well for the senior leadership team, which we're repeating again this year, is a Blue Sky Thinking Day. So the whole of the SLT, plus we invited governors and the clerk of governors to minute it. And we just had a day where we looked at what impact the new development would be to five forms of entry, which is now almost complete, what we wanted to do next to improve on our previous best, because we've been on a constant journey since I arrived here, constantly improving things and renovating the building and creating more opportunities. But it has to come as well from those that support me rather than me sort of suggesting new initiatives all the time. So that worked really well. And we've got another one in November. And we go to a hotel. And then Anita and I stayed over that night and our husbands came along. So that was nice because that was a highly reduced fee. And I'm hoping that this time that will happen with all of us from the SLT so that we have some time to really, you know, get together and relax and talk about all the good things that we do here.
So a while ago, the Education Press was reporting that on a crisis in headship where a number of middle leaders were afraid on taking the next step to more senior positions due to a high perceived increase in workload. Do you think this is still an issue in schools? And what do you think could be done to remedy the situation?
I've been doing a lot of that. I've been part of the tailored support program for the DfE, and I currently support five schools with recruitment and retention issues as identified by the DfE. What has been really good in this, and I think it's something that needs to be disseminated across all schools, is that we create mentors, in-school mentors, to support the early careers teachers. So those teachers that are between years 2 and 4, because that's when the greatest turnover occurs. In the schools that I've been working, and they're quite varied, there's one in Slough, there's one in Islington, there's one in sort of another part of London. So it's a nice mix of schools as well. One's a high school, and the needs aren't very different, and the methods and that sort of support system can work for all. I think the problem is in the past, and particularly with teaching, you come in your first year, you're an NQT, you get a great deal of support, and you have usually, if you're lucky, you've got a great tutor. They're very lucky in this school because I know the tutors and how they support them. But after that, you're sort of left on your own. And people don't really talk to you through performance management in previous settings that I've experienced. You get told what you need to do next, and you don't really look beyond the walls of your classroom. So it can be very isolating. And I think giving people that support initially to keep them in and help them with the workload and help them be more efficient, and by showing them that there is a significant career path and opportunities for development, which I myself, I mean, I didn't start teaching until I was in my 40s, and I became a head within 11 years and a deputy head within 8 and an assistant head within 3. And that can happen, and you can make rapid progress both for your salary and for your personal development. So I think it's a highly rewarding profession, but it needs to be shared. From the top down, people need to show that they enjoy the role as well. And I really love it. And I encourage people to take those opportunities. I also do the coaching triads that have been launched by Challenge Partners and the Greater London Authority. So that happened, I think, and this is my 3rd year. So it was 3 years ago. Yeah, 3 years ago that I started. You get 3 ambitious or those aspiring head teachers, so 3 deputies normally, from different parts of London. And we have a sort of triad model of coaching, which is really good because all my role is to facilitate, and they support each other. They create a network together. So we often go visit their schools and we'll get a tour around that. And we look at all the great things happening there. Out of the 9 that I've coached, 3 have got headships. And one got a headship yesterday.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm particularly proud, yeah. So that's been a really, and that's the sort of thing that Anita and I are trying to launch in our school now, first by one-on-one coaching, but creating that culture where people could get in triads as well, in 3s, triads sounds a bit aggressive, trios. yeah, we won't encourage that, but trios at least to, you know, work with each other and bounce ideas off each other. And again, you have that sort of camaraderie then, and work, you spend a lot of time there. It needs to be a nice place to be, both the environment, but also the job thing and the social side of it. And they're very good at supporting each other here as teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for you, because you started more recently, well, the last 3 years, you notice that. I mean, talk about that, Jane.
Well, absolutely. I was just thinking, for middle leaders, I think we have a very good support network here at Byron Court. Anyone who goes into middle leadership gets supported by a member of SLT or a more established leader within the school. We also have developed a middle leader kind of booklet, as it were, that makes their job roles very transparent and where they can go to for support and what's expected of them. And I think when you're very clear and transparent about objectives and what people need to do, that actually helps as well. The faculty system we have in our school also means that as middle leaders, they are responsible for a big part of the curriculum, let's say, but they do have a group and a team behind them that can support them.
The other thing we are, of course, because we're a teaching school, we were one of the 42 institutions across the country that got the license to deliver the newly reformed NPQs, the National Professional Qualifications. We do middle leadership and senior leadership, but we started that journey of training leaders in 2012 through the NCTL, as it was then. And that's facilitated by our director of the teaching school. And to date, I believe we've trained 280 plus future leaders. So that's a huge thing that we do, and we like that. And that, again, creates a network for Brent. The other thing that I think helps raise the profile of opportunities in leadership is something that we've done with the Brent Schools Partnership. I'm vice chair of this. It's a group. It's basically a group. It's every school in Brent that has signed up to it. We appointed a strategic lead for that, who used to be the school improvement lead in Harrow. She, Fasana Aldridge, leads here now. We have managed to secure some money from the school's forum, on which I sit as well, for the development of leadership and for succession planning and sustainability, particularly in Brent, because in the last 2 years, I think it's been, we've had 44 new heads in the borough. Some are heads of school. And so they're very fragile. So this strategy group that we've created, which is furnished by money from Schools Forum, it's doing work in partnership with Brent Local Authority. They call themselves the School Effectiveness Team and Board, which I also sit on. We've created a group for aspiring heads. We've created a coaching system for those new to headship, so within the first 3 years. We've created a middle layer for those that want to get into middle leadership. And we're also looking at those that are interested in leadership below that scale. So sort of aspirant head teachers, assistant head teachers, deputy head teachers, and then aspirant middle leaders as well. So that's been launched recently. And interestingly, we're working with a company called the Madison Group, who are a professional coaching company. And they are training 10 head teachers in the borough on the application. Both Anita and I have applied to do that, to be trained as advanced coaches with the ILM level 5 or level 7, which is the MA equivalent. And then we will be rolled out to support some of the newly arrived or early in headship, but also some of those that have been in the job a bit longer. And quite frankly, I think so those that have been in the job for sort of 20 odd years would do a lot of new things and exciting things if they had some coaching, because it's very difficult to think beyond what you've always done.
Yeah, I agree. It's always good to get that extra input. So a high workload can also scare away many graduates who might have otherwise considered teaching as a profession. Is there any advice that you'd give to those prospective teachers?
Shall I take that?
Yeah.
We, through the teaching school, run our own school direct programs, initial teacher training, which are school-based programs. So having that year in school where you're shadowing an outstanding teacher, I think that gives them a really good perspective anyway. And we encourage anyone that's thinking of applying to come into school for a few days to actually get through the school. So I think that school-based programme has really helped prepare them. They know exactly what the expectations are, because it is a challenging job at times and they need to enter it with their eyes open, especially those that are career changers. But I think the people that we've had through that programme, they're actually outstanding NQTs because they know exactly what the expectations are. And, you know, they do live up to those. Jane?
No, and also what I was going to add is I don't think education is any more work than any other job. Mm-hmm. I started off in banking, international banking in the city. And I think that, and I was there in the 80s, so those were still days that you had 3-hour liquid lunches, but you don't have those. We don't, that doesn't exist in the city anymore. They work incredibly long hours. And not only that, your job is much more vulnerable in those sort of corporate institutions where if things aren't working right for you, you'll be exited quite swiftly. In teaching, that isn't the case. There's a lot of support around. They've got strong union representation as well, which helps ensure that, you know, certain like salaries are negotiated on a fair level. I think also as a graduate, you start on quite a high pay, knowing, you know, my girls, they started straight from university as graduates on like 19,000. Well, you don't do that in teaching. You start on about 28,000, particularly in inner London. So I know it may be nationally, it may be vary quite a bit, but even so, it's still better. And there is, you know, a lot of opportunities to develop. And the more sort of creative you are and ambitious you are, you can actually shape your career in teaching very well, I think. And it's incredibly rewarding. It's very fulfilling. You get an awful lot of positive feedback from the children. You don't get that in a corporate world, you know, unless you do something really brilliant and then they stab you in the back afterwards because they're jealous. So, you know, I know these are wide generalizations, but there is some element of truth in it as well. So it's a great career.
And finally, for our key question, given what we've been talking about, if you had one piece of advice for schools to act on, what would it be?
Positivity. For me.
And engaging all members of staff, so giving them a say as well, so they don't feel like things are done to them, it's done with them. That's really important. I think that's how we've moved forward at Byron Court, is actually speaking to all members of staff, asking their views and acting upon it in the best way we can for our school.
And we do an annual survey of all our staff at different times of the year to get those views.
Yeah, and that, I think that the atmosphere here is positive. Yeah. There's a can-do attitude. And that comes from the leadership initially. So if you're walking around like a beast of burden all the time, sort of wiping your forehead and saying, I can't stand it, all the pressure, I'm so busy, which we all do from time to time. Generally, I think the feeling here is we can manage things and there is a solution to every problem, but people also have to learn to solve their own issues. So that's something else we've started changing. And again, you're empowered by that. Rather than always running to certain people saying, what shall I do? What shall I do? Well, think of a solution yourself. And the minute you do, you get better and better at it. It's just like training, isn't it? It's like going to the gym. You know, it's finding strategies to make your workload manageable, efficiencies, effectiveness, clear communication. Those are all things that you need to underpin that positivity as well.
And that comes back to where we started. It's like giving staff that personal responsibility. So those conversations about workload, it's about, right, you take responsibility for how you can manage your home, you know, work-life balance as well.
And stress gets taken away from the systems that we forgot to talk about. All the systems and procedures that we implemented right at the start. Anita and I sat holed up in the old head teacher's office. And we wrote 75, 80 policies. There were no policies in place. There were no systems. There were no routines. So what that creates is equality. So nobody feels that somebody else is getting a better deal. So i.e. they've had 5 days off sick, but you're only allowed 3 days off sick with and get, you know, that's not the system here. We have the same system that we apply rigorously. That's Anita's job and she does it incredibly well. And people understand the system. And so then they know what they need to do and if there are issues, who they can go to and there are ways that we can work around problems. But if you have no consistency in an organization, people get very restless because they don't know what's happening. So again, get the systems in place, get the procedures in place, get your structure in place, and make sure that everybody knows their roles as well. Because when you get this conflicting confusion, or somebody's doing something and somebody else undoes what they've just done because there's not proper communication, that creates stress. And then the minute you get stressed staff, everything becomes a burden. So I think you need to start with the basics. If you get those basics right, then the rest will follow.
Thank you very much for listening. Key Voices is produced by The Key, giving education leaders the knowledge to act. Special thanks to Anita, Martine, and Jane for talking to us today. Members of The Key for School Leaders can access hundreds of articles on the latest issues in education at thekeysupport.com.